All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, February 25th, 2013. How's it going? I'm still in Boston. My record is still fucked up, so just bear with me. There's going to be one more week, but I promise I plugged in my laptop so there won't be the fan sound this week. At least I got rid of that, right? It's snowing out here. I'm sitting in a hotel room. I got the Oscars on in the background, not because I want to watch them. Nia was just watching them. I told her to go downstairs to the bar while I do this. I'd like to have her on the podcast, but it's going to sound like shit. It sounds like shit with one person, forget about two. I don't know. I was all psyched to do this stupid podcast, and I had the sound down on the TV, and I saw Barbara Streisand, and I was like, holy shit, is she singing? I know she notoriously has stage fright. She doesn't like to do it. So I turned it on, and she was singing that song, Memories, which is, who's kidding who? It's one of the most depressing fucking songs you're ever going to listen to. It really just affected my mood. Barbara, if you're listening to this, could you please stop singing that fucking song? Memories, when we all used to be young. A lot of our dreams didn't happen, and now we're gonna die. Right? I fucking do not like sad songs like that. I don't mind individual pain. Oh, speaking of songs, I've known about that dude Bruno Mars for a while, and I listened to a little bit of his shit. But you know, I'm an old man. I can't relate to somebody singing about the prime of their life. I mean, I lived through the prime of my life. At least I hope I did. Well, maybe I hope I didn't, which means it would get better at some point, and then Barbara Streisand wouldn't be fucking bumming me out. They're goddamn depressing songs. You know what's annoying? She always sings it with the most sparkly fucking dress on. They should rename that song, Put a Gun in Your Mouth. Oh, Jesus. Look how old Richard Gere is now. It's just, I don't need this. You just told me fucking Ernest Borgnine died, which I didn't even know. Half the people who are dying made movies when I was a kid now, which means that fucking Grim Reaper sickle is right on my ass. I don't need to see that. I don't need to see that somebody who did something on E.T. just died. Or some guy who made the fucking shark fin in Jaws died. Well, I guess maybe I do. That guy should get... He should get his due. Right? Can you guys hear me typing here? I just remember I needed to talk about something. That guy should get his due without fuck... You know, without a doubt. But I mean, I don't... I just find it really depressing. You know? I don't know. Anyways, the hell am I talking about? I'm here in Boston, and this is gonna be a rough one, people. This is gonna be a rough one. Once again, talking into my fucking laptop. This is bizarre to me. I'm out of my comfort zone. There, I said it. You know, I haven't watched all the Oscars. Did they do that stupid moment they do every year where they go, movies? They allow us to dream. They allow us to look at life differently. They allow us to see a future where things are better. They allow us not to have our balls sticking to our legs in the summertime. If you don't have air conditioning, it's great to go in the theater. I actually didn't see a lot of the movies this year. Jesus, look at the fucking ass on her. Anybody else notice Nicole Kidman did too many of those shoulder shrug exercises? What the fuck was going on with her? She looked like a cornerback. Just in the neck, though. Is that Pilates? Pilates? Like, that's one good thing that we got out of the Inquisition, didn't we? Is we got that little Pilates stretcher rack there. How fucked up was the Inquisition, huh? Bunch of people going around torturing you till you say that you believed in the bearded baby. You know? Is it any wonder why I left that religion? Oh, who's kidding who? I didn't want to get up that fucking early. Anyways, I had a huge, huge week. Before I really get going here, I want to thank everybody who came out to the Patrice O'Neill benefit on Tuesday night. It was an unbelievable success, and it was so great to finally send him off the right way. And I got to tell you, everybody on the show was hilarious, and I really felt that people stepped it up and were just going above and beyond. Like Keith Robinson was the funniest I've ever seen him. Colin Quinn, Jim Norton, Dave Attell, everybody crushed. Ian Edwards was great, just because you know, he does a lot of writing, and I think not enough people know what a phenomenal comedian he is. Rich Voss hosted. Bobby Kelly jumped on the grenade, came out first. Will Silvince. Who else? Did I miss somebody in there? I probably missed somebody, and they're going to get upset. But it was such a success. I hope that we get to do it again, because it was great to see all those guys, and everybody, of course, was backstage trashing everyone. Some people wore suits, other people didn't. So immediately there was a Hatfields and McCoy going on in the green room. So everybody was getting trashed. Norton took a nice pounding. Poor guy got himself in shape. He thinks he's looking good, but evidently he bought a suit when he was a little more pudgier. So everyone was trashing him about that. And, you know, I caught some shit for my big head. You know, the usual sort of, oh, the tit for tat that went on backstage. But I want to thank everybody who came out. It really was an awesome night. And I feel very thankful that all you guys who bought tickets came out, and people who bought the posters and that type of thing. And I'm really hoping that we can do it again at some point. I have no idea when. Next year, 2 years, I have no idea. But it was too fun to not at least consider maybe doing it again. All right? So there you go. All right. Back to the podcast here. I've already started this thing a couple of times. I forget if I already brought this up. But Tom Papa has joined the wonderful world of all things comedy podcast network that I started with Al Madrigal. He's going to be taping a new stand-up special. And there's free tickets available if you're in the New York area. He's going to be at the Skirball. Did I already do this? I probably already did. But I'm going to do it again. He's at the Skirball on March 7th. We'll put the link up there. I don't remember. Did I already do it? I probably already did it. Ah, Jesus Christ. Anyways. Oh, I was talking about singers. So Bruno Mars was this guy that, you know, I knew he was a talented kid or whatever. But like I said, you know, a lot of his songs, it was about being young and going out and partying, that whole being in your 20s and that type of thing. And, you know, I'm an old bastard. I mean, I think I'm closer to Neil Young's age than I am Bruno Mars. But I don't know what I was doing. I was clicking, going through the internet, and I saw him sing on that show, The Voice, which had I known it was The Voice, I wouldn't have watched it, because I don't like that show. I don't like how they all sit there with their fucking backs to the singer and their lazy boys, and then they hit the button and they turn around, and that's supposed to be, like, exciting for me as the viewer. You know, like, my life is that sad and pathetic. Not saying it's not sad and pathetic, but, you know, you got to do more than spin around in a fucking lazy boy to get me going, all right? But anyways, he goes on that show, sang this song, When I Was Your Man, absolutely fucking crushes it. Watched it like 10 times. So this whole week, I'm up at the Wilbur Theater, and I'm working with the sensation, Joe DeRosa. And I keep telling him about it. He keeps breaking my balls, saying that I like this fucking teen idol and all that type of thing. And I just wouldn't let it up. And I finally made him sit down and watch it last night when we were hammered. He got through it. And then I took an unbelievable pounding from him and Nia that I actually like it. But you know what? I stand by it. I don't give a shit if you guys give me a rough. You know what I was excited about? Is the fact that there's somebody young out there who can actually just go out there with a piano player and just sing. You know? Those DJs, I've already talked about that on Conan. I don't fucking get what's going on there. You know? Fucking Kanye West, guy does a whole song, use a whole album using auto-tune. He can't even sing. And then even worse, he goes out on fucking tour and people are paying tickets to watch a guy sing who can't fucking sing without, he's singing through like this iron lung or some shit. And they're paying like $100 to sit in the front row to watch somebody who can't even fucking sing. It was just, you know, it made me feel good to see somebody just come out there and absolutely fucking crush it like that. So I've been joking with Nia. I was like, I got to go see this dude live. And I have to bring you because there's going to be a bunch of fucking teenage girls. And then my old ass is going to be standing there. I'm going to get arrested. But I don't know. It was a great thing to see. You know, when you get old, what happens is shit changes. And because you're grumpy, you don't think anything's better. Is this too fucking loud? Am I blowing myself out here? It's like a goddamn heart attack here in the mixer. No, when you get old, like, shit changes. Some shit changes for the better, you know? Hair transplants are way better. Some medicine is better, but a lot of other shit suffers. Cars all look the same. I guess they're better as far as their handling and safety and shit, but, you know, some shit was better. People could sing back in the day. So it's nice to see somebody that can, all right? Jesus Christ, you think I'm drunk here. That's actually two positive things I've said in a row. That never happens on this podcast. All right, you know what? I'm actually upset that I missed and happy that I missed was women fighting in the UFC. There's just something so wrong about that. You know? To be just sitting there taking fucking kicks to your womb. I mean, you're women. You're supposed to be better than that. You're supposed to be able to solve your fucking problems, you know, by pulling each other's hair. I don't want to see some girl take a kick to her titties. It's just and grounding and pounding their pretty faces. There really is. I don't know. I don't want to get used to seeing that. You know, it's kind of like when you first start watching porn. Second a girl bends over doggy style, you're like, holy shit, that's amazing. You know, it's incredible. Then after a while, it doesn't do anything for you. You got to go to the next level. I don't want to do that with fighting. I want to keep it like, you know, I can watch two guys beat the shit out of each other. I really don't want to see two women kick the shit out of each other. So, but on the other side, I think it's a great thing that women can fight like that. I actually have a solution. I might bring this up to Rogan if I get to do his podcast. Or if I ever bring him on this one, if I stop being so fucking lazy and actually have a guest every once in a while. I have a solution. I think that the women of the UFC, rather than fighting each other, they should fight convicted rapists. Right? Just hear me out. You take them out of the... and they don't know... They don't know... Wait, that's weird. Is that too much? If the rapist doesn't know that he's going to have a pay-per-view fight, that he's going to be involved in it? Whatever. Give the rapist a fighting chance. Here's the deal. You go in there, you fight the broad, and if she wins, everyone's going to be happy. If the rapist wins, then what? He gets to go free? You can't let him go. What does he get? A couple cartons of cigarettes? Dude, you know how fucking much of an asshole you'd have to be to root for the rapist? Because that's the fucked up thing. Like, Vegas would be then taking odds. So at some point, they would have to make just, you know, because money, Vegas always wants money on both sides of the ball. They would have to make it so fucking enticing that you'd have to bet the rapist just so they could offset everybody who doesn't want to bet on a rapist. Right? I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'll have to work that one out. As far as how that would work out. Did anybody watch it? Can you send me some emails? Because I really don't want to see that. I've seen it in boxing a couple times, and some girls just sort of jab the other, throwing out a stiff jab and just punches the girl right in one of her breasts. And there's just something wrong about it. You know? A low blow. She had a baby, man. You know, you can't. It's just, I don't know. You know, it's funny. Some women actually get mad at that. With their constant quest to be doing everything that men do. And never really stepping back to consider whether what we're doing is stupid or not. They just want to fucking do everything that we're doing so they can feel like that they are free. Charlize Theron, what do you think about that haircut? That Wayne Gretzky in 1988. She should be up there fucking accepting the Hart Trophy. You know what's funny? But when she was on the red carpet, she said, they asked her about her haircut. And she said the same thing every chick says that has short hair. She goes, oh my God, it's so freeing. It's just every woman should do it. And I'm thinking like, no, they shouldn't. For my own selfish reasons. You know, you don't need to get the Ethel haircut that young in your life. That's really what that is. That basically, when you get that haircut, you're basically saying, you know, I don't care if my husband wants to fuck me or not. We're legally bound here. I got enough years in. By all means, go fuck somebody else. I really don't care. And, oh my God. You know something? Like, I've noticed that with, like, in marriages, that's a moment in the marriage when the woman. When I'm sure some people can send me some emails when your wife cuts off all her beautiful hair. I got it so easy. I just wash and go. You know, right then, when a woman gets a haircut that short, it's like doggy style becomes a really weird position. You know, depending on their hair color, they can all of a sudden look like one of your friends. You know? All right. I'm really going off on the women here. I'm really putting you guys in a box, no pun intended. All right? I don't think you should fight in the UFC unless you're fighting rapists. And I don't think that you should get the Mabel haircut until you're, I don't know. That should be the menopause haircut. Hot flashes. I can't have my teenage hair anymore. It's making my brow sweaty. I think that that's when you should cut it off. But you know? They always do. They always, I don't know. Then they always have to still fucking tease it in some way. It's like, why don't you just part it on the fucking side. If you're just going to go out and get like a Steve Carell haircut, then you should comb it like him. Steve Carell, that's a bad reference. Who has just a George Clooney? You know? Jesus, Bill. Are you judging enough people here or what? Yeah, I am. I am. What are you going to do about it? All right, clicking here on here. I know this is making a ton of noise. I don't know what to tell you. I got some advertising here I got to read. All right, everybody. Where is it? LegalZoom, everybody. LegalZoom, are you waiting for the perfect time to start your dream business? Well, it's right now. LegalZoom, the official sponsor of the National Start Your Business Month, wants you to get started right now. Whether you're setting up an LLC, an S-Corp, sole proprietorship, or a nonprofit, LegalZoom takes care of you from start to finish. Their award-winning service was developed by the best legal minds in the country. Every business gets personalized attention. That's why over 90% of LegalZoom customers would recommend the service to their family. You'll be in good company. 36 companies on the INC, I guess that's Inc., 500 lists were started through LegalZoom. Wow, man, that's actually 36 of them, for those of you who can't add. It's National Start Your Business Month, so start your business right at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom is not a law firm and provides self-help services at your specific direction. So if you need help, ask them. But there's so much more. Now every LLC and incorporation package includes easy-to-use business accounting software, a $269 value, absolutely free. Be sure to enter BURR, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at checkout. Start your business, protect your family, and safeguard your assets at LegalZoom today. All right? And after you've started your business, oh, shit! Quentin Tarantino won an Oscar. Oh, that's awesome. Good for him. Best original screenplay. He looks good, too. He's got a leather tie. There he is. He's got to have something in there that he's a maverick. Ah, that makes me happy. Good for him. All right. Stamps.com, everybody. Do you want to do everything you can do at the post office in the safety of your own home, safety of your own apartment, in your little tent city? Use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your own desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter package using your own computer or printer. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale, calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You'll never have to go to the post office again or even lease one of those expensive postage meters. I use Stamps.com to send out all my DVDs. I never have a problem. It's made my life a lot easier. And I'm so dumb, if I can figure it out, so can you. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for a special offer, no risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, that's Stamps.com, enter Burr. That was a pretty good read. I got to admit, I was reading that and watching a very excited Quentin Tarantino. Sorry, I leaned back. Fuck, forget the microphone's right here. Oh, it's going to be so uneven. Where the hell are we? Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, guys. This is even for me, this is a level of unprofessionalism. Did I mention Tom Papa yet? You know what sucked today? Aside from the fact that it was doing that annoying, not raining, not snowing, and blowing horizontally right in your face. I really do not miss the winter, by the way. I do not miss this shit at all. I'm going to go right back out to Los Angeles and breathe in that nice warm smog that I've really gotten accustomed to. What do we got here? The Bruins are on today, and I have the center ice package, whatever you call it, on my computer. But because it was a local game, it's blacked out on my computer, and I'm in a hotel, and they don't have Nesson, so I didn't get to watch it. But I did see the clip of Zdeno Chara's 360 backhand goal. You know? Let's see John Scott do that, Buffalo fans. Hey, Buffalo fans, did you see what's-his-face said John Scott shouldn't even be in the league? I literally sound like a schoolgirl. Even Jeremy Roenick doesn't like him. I can't wait till we play the Sabres again. And I can't wait till we play the stupid Canadians. You know what I love about the Canadians? Is they're still trying to walk around like they're the kings of the league. I mean, last time the Canadians won a Stanley Cup, white people loved O.J. Simpson. Okay? White people, last time they won it, it was a year before. White people were like, oh my God, O.J. is a monster. You know? And black people too, but only amongst themselves. They're not allowed to admit it to white people. That's how long it's been. And they still walk around. Oh, it's so embarrassing. When you go up to their stadium there, right as you go in, they got all their Stanley Cups, you know, which I'm sure was a great idea when they built the place, because they probably thought there's no fucking way we're going to go on a, you know, decade upon decade drought here, because they're not winning it this year. You know they're not. And if they win it this year, I'm actually going to lobby. No, if they straight up win, I don't give a fuck. But I haven't watched too many of their games, but if they're playing that trap defense like I heard, like that Canadiens Rangers game, where the coach of the Rangers said it was one of the worst hockey games he's ever seen, just completely boring. I don't understand for the life of me why the NHL just doesn't make that an illegal defense. If basketball, if the NBA is smart enough to be like, listen, guys are too big and too fast. You've come up with a defense that is just far too effective. It's so cutting down the scoring. It's affecting the entertainment value of the product. That's an illegal defense. You can't do it anymore. I don't know why. They just haven't made the fucking thing illegal. It's the worst. It's the fucking worst. All you do is just sit there watching the other team just dumps it in the whole game. You know, and the other team just sits there waiting for you to make a mistake. It's literally, it's like, I don't know what it's like watching. I can't even say a pitcher's duel, because a pitcher's duel is exciting watching if they're mowing people down. There's still great plays being made, like exciting stops in the field. If, you know, if somebody's got a no-hitter going, that can be exciting. No scoring in hockey. I can't even say no scoring. No rushes on the net. You know, I think that basically, you know, the forwards should all be required. I mean, I guess the trap is they are forechecking. It's just too fucking effective. I don't know who came up with it, but it's perfect. I was actually, I'll give you a link to it for you guys who aren't hockey fans. If you watch it, it's really phenomenal. So it's just, people just can't. I was watching one YouTube video and the guy was saying he had a system that could beat it, but I don't think he does, or else somebody in the NHL would be doing it. You know what I like to do, people? I like to have a microphone that I lean away from, talking about the most obscure of the top four sports and breaking down the defenses, because I feel that that's going to be interesting for the fans. All right, let's get, let me at least, for the love of God, get to a goddamn letter here. This is from Mexico. Hola, hombre. Sorry. First of all, I'm a huge fan of yours from Mexico. If I was a newscaster, I would have been. First of all, I'm a huge fan of yours from Mexico. I love your stand-up. I love when you are on Conan. Thank you very much. Thanks for all. Keep it up. Thank you. All right. That was it? Oh, that was the whole letter. Oh, I'm sorry. I love your stand-up. I love when you are at Conan. And most recently, I love the boots you were rocking at your latest appearance. So if possible, could you share what brand... What brand are those? Where the fuck are they? You know what? I have them. Hang on a second. I'll go get them. I'll go get them for you. Oh, my God. What a podcast. It's amazing. Here they are. Coming back with the shoes. I got to be honest with you. Mi amigo from Mexico. I got these when I was in Stockholm, Sweden. I had to get something. They are... Ah, Christ, my fucking eyes are going. I tell you that my fucking eyesight's going. You know what pissed me off? Is I was hanging out with Opie from the Opie and Anthony show. And he asked me one day, he goes, dude, are your eyes starting to go yet? I go, no, my eyes are fine. He's like, they will, bro. They will. He's always doing that shit. Your shoulder hurt? No, it doesn't. Hey, wait, we wait. You wait, it's gonna... And I'm like, why does he think that all of his ailments are going to hit me? It's not an age thing. It's how you lived your life. You know? We have two totally different bodies. Why would you say that to me? And the fucking son of a bitch was right about my eyes. Wasn't right about the shoulder. All right. They're called Rizzo? It's either Rizzo or Pizzo. I think it's Rizzo. R-I-Z-Z-O. I got them in Sweden, though. Couple of years ago, and God knows they probably stopped making them, because that's what they do, right? They start making clothes, everybody loves them, and then they get rid of them. They got to get some new ones. You hear these right here? You know what that's the sound of? An almost empty tin of bootleg fucking M&M's. These things, there's something wrong with them. I can't stop eating them, but they're disgusting. Totally ripped off M&M's. They look just like them, except they don't have the M on them. All right, this is from Ireland. Ireland in the New World Order. Dear Billifer, I've been a huge fan of your podcast for years now and think your advice is pretty fucking great. Thank you. In fact, listening to one of your podcasts helped me leave a shitty, toxic relationship. Look at this. Oh, Billy Redface, helping people out. And I've been lucky enough to meet a fantastic woman since. Hey, buddy, I couldn't be more happy for you. Could have been happier for you. Anyways, he says... Enough blowing smoke up your arse. I love when people do that. I didn't ask you to do it. And I helped you out with the most important thing in your life. So go fuck yourself. Anyways, he said, I'm from Ireland. And that country is pretty much owned by the European banks now and no longer a sovereign state. Essentially, it was taken down economically, and everyone is in debt now. I live in Britain, and now they are voting on having secret courts and all kinds of terrifying Orwellian shit. Secret courts? Oh, my God. So it does seem we are skipping towards the New World Order. My question is on population reduction. How do you think the New World Order are going to take us all out? Also, when you say you understand why they want to do this, what about the fact that they want to turn who's left into slaves? I don't condone it, but I mean, that is pretty much the history of human beings. You know? I mean, we're all unbelievably lucky to be living right now as free people. You know? Because when you really think about yourself, what are you bringing to the table? You know? I don't know. I can't talk for you, but I'm certainly not royalty. I haven't invented anything. So why shouldn't I be out there picking up heavy shit for smart people? That's probably one of the dumbest things I ever said, but I don't know. I don't have any faith in human beings. I just think that there's a select few that are decent, and I'm not including myself when I say that, and I just don't feel that people handle power. They can't handle it. You know? And that even goes for regular people. A lot of people shit on, you know, the rich. Oh, they're fucking assholes and they act like they're better people. But I mean, if you just look at what people do on the internet when they just have the power of being anonymous, how fucking mean that they are. And, you know, I know some people are just trolling, but a lot of people, they just, you know, they're assholes. They're like, holy shit, I can say whatever I want and not get in trouble for it. And they just immediately just say the meanest shit they can possibly say. You know, if you actually got a position of power where you could do something else, you'd probably abuse that too. So, anyways, how do I think they're going to take us all out? I don't know. Cell phones. Cell phones. They're probably just cooking up brains. I have no idea. I would think that they would do the usual shit. Divide. You basically... say that these people are better than these people. These people are out to get us. Yada, yada, yada. I don't know. But, you know, it has to be done. People, do you think we're just going to keep having more and more people and eventually this shit isn't going to hit the fan? Do you honestly think that there can be 7 billion people on the planet? We're not affecting the planet, you know? Imagine if there was 7 billion deer on this planet and for some fucked up reason, for like a 4-year period, they all really got into rollerblading. Did I use this analogy yet? I can't remember. Let's just say they all really got into rollerblading. Then after 4 years, it was considered gay and they just threw out their rollerblades. Threw them into the fucking ocean. I mean, it would just be open season on deer. They're like, these fucking deer are the biggest assholes ever. Yeah, we're out of control. We're out of control, and a lot of tough decisions are going to have to be made. And I don't know what to tell you. I find it all funny though. I've gotten beyond the scariness of it. I got beyond the depression of it, and. Something's going to happen. Look, if someone isn't out there trying to take over the whole world, then humanity has been wiped off the planet. There's always going to be somebody out there trying to do that shit. But I don't know. I think if we keep fucking and having kids and all that type of shit, I don't think we're going to have to worry about the New World Order doing anything to us. I think Mother Nature will swiftly... Or slowly, I don't know. They'll handle it. There's only so many fish. Hey, you want to kill all of them? Yeah. See how that works out. You know? Melt the fucking ice caps. Drown us. Very easy. Very easy to get rid of us. Couple of storms. Do I sound crazy? Well, maybe I am. I don't give a fuck. Cheater at the Wilbur. Hey, Bill, I saw you. I was at your late show last night. And before I get into it, I had a great time. All right. Anyway, about 20 to 30 minutes before the sensation, Joe DeRosa took the stage. By the way, Joe DeRosa is taping his half-hour Comedy Central Presents right here in Boston on Tuesday night. And Comedy Central, they're giving out free tickets. So why don't you guys go down and support my boy? I'd really appreciate it. If you're busy, I understand. A couple of you show up. Be a nice thing. Anyways, about 20 to 30 minutes before the sensation took the stage. He was great, by the way. I was sitting next to this fairly attractive woman up in the mezzanine. She took one look at this usher, and you could tell her twat got wet, and she wanted him. Jesus, dude, you were really paying attention to this. She started talking to him and hitting on him and eventually settling on a time and day to get together with him, and they exchanged phone numbers. For about 5 minutes after this exchange, I was admittedly a little jealous of this guy until the lady's husband came and sat down with her. He was definitely her husband. And at first, it was a little uncomfortable for me, especially when she gave me a you better keep your mouth shut or I'll stab you look. Dude, did this really happen or did you dream this? Who would just fucking openly cheat like that? I don't know if I believe this. But after a couple of minutes, I saw the irony of it when I thought, she's here to see Bill Burr, a comedian who is famous for his anger towards these whores. And I started dying laughing right in the middle of the theater when it wasn't even half full yet, which got me a couple of stares from people. But hell, I thought it was fucking hilarious, and this woman had no clue at what I was laughing at, which made it even better, and I started laughing harder. Anyway, love the podcast, and I will see you again in Hampton soon. Yeah. Look, I hope that didn't... I hope the way you were reading that, it didn't go down that way, but, you know, I've been on the road a long time, boys and girls, and look, Robert De Niro looks like he's going to fall asleep. I've been on the road a long time, and yeah, you'd be amazed how married women behave. It's fucking ridiculous. And, you know, and it's not all of them. Basically what it is, the decent people after the show, they go home. You know why? Because they're happy with their lives. They're happy with who they're with. They got kids. They got a job. They want to get back to their life. It's the people who hang out afterwards, unless you're young and in your 20s, but I'm saying it's people who are married and they still fucking hang out. They're still searching. They're still seeking. You know? And shit happens. People, oh my God, is Meryl Streep that fucking old? You know what? I'm going to shut this off. I can't fucking watch this shit anymore. She looks like... I'm not going to say that. That's too mean. She's like a first lady. She looks like a first lady! By the way, does she get nominated every year? She has to go down. Like, people always talking about, like, De Niro, Pacino, Marlon Brando, and that type of thing. You got to throw her in there. She's got to have the most nominations ever. Isn't that unbelievable? Let's just play along with this thing here, and let's just say that that's true. Like, how long was this guy gone for? Man, that'd have been pretty... She takes one look at this guy, starts shooting the shit, and they're talking loud enough that you hear it, and they exchange phone numbers. I don't know. Well, I mean, I've seen worse things. I remember one time I was on the road, you know, drinking with some people afterwards. There was this married couple. And the fucking wife, in the end, we all go to say goodnight to the husband. She comes up and I'm standing there and she basically puts her clam on my fucking leg. Just like walks right into it. It was, you know, it's just like, your husband's right over there. You got your goods on my leg. What are you doing? And I'd like to tell you that that only happened one fucking time. You know the deal. Women are smart with their dirt. They keep it in-house. I think they just talk about it amongst themselves. But and then they got that great thing that even when they cheat, it's always because the guy wasn't giving me what I needed. But blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, yeah, that's why guys cheat too. You know? You weren't bringing another woman into the bedroom so I could have a threesome. Yeah. You know? I don't fucking know. Hey, you know, be fucking unreal is what if your wife was one of those UFC chicks, you know, and you're just a regular shithead like me? What do you do when you catch her cheating? What are you going to do? That'd be fucked, right? And she goes, yeah, what are you going to do about it? She sort of cracks her neck. You know you'd still have to take a run at her. I swear to God, I would grab a fucking... the leg of a table. You know? That would be what I would do. I would grab a blunt object and just swing below the waist. You know? Because that's a lesser degree of assault. And I just know that she hasn't any of her training. I know she can choke me out. I know she can put me in an arm bar. I know she's good standing up, you know, but she hasn't dealt with weapons. I said, I just start throwing shit at her. Start with a chair, maybe a clock. Clock's a great thing to have. I guess that would be my failsafe. If I married one of those UFC fighting chicks, I would have a bunch of knickknacks that I would slowly be accumulating, acting as though it was a hobby. But what it really would be is I would be stocking it with weaponry, you know? What if she's an angry drunk, comes home and just starts beating my ass, right? And I got to fucking go to work the next day telling lies. You know, my name is Luca. I married a UFC chick. That'd be fucking brutal. Oh, my God, that'd be the end of your life. You know what's sad? There has to be a guy out there who's just getting beat down by his woman every night. There's just no, you can't fucking bring it up to anybody. You know? Where's that fucking support group? All right, revenge. Jesus Christ, I'm blowing through all these questions. Revenge. Bill Burr. I often have fantasies about getting people back, but like you, I look at my higher self and can't do it. No, that's not what I do. I know I'm too fucking stupid, and I'm going to get caught. You know, and I've also watched enough sports where I know that it's the guy who retaliates. You know, he's the guy who always gets the penalty. So anyways, I got my revenge by living well and doing nothing. Here's what happened to at least a few of my enemies. And he said, I did nothing to make this happen. Oh, okay, so this guy's basically claiming that he always wanted to get revenge, but he took the higher road and his revenge was living well and doing nothing. So here's all these people that he wanted to fuck over but never did. This is what happened to him, these people. All right, first person. A dude who fucked with me eventually went to jail for buggery and hanged himself when he was there. What is buggery? Is that fucking around? Is that tomfoolery? What country is this from? Okay, that's good. Now, did you feel good when he hung himself? Another guy I hate was arrested for selling booze to kids, and I laughed my ass off when I saw him on a news story about a local ATF sting. Oh, that's a good one. Another dude who fucked my lady and had the back of his head caved in by an unknown assailant. Not me, I swear. Because he buggered a child. All right, dude. If any more people suffer sort of the same violent ending, I'm gonna start to think that I'm gonna start asking where you were when all this shit happened. So, anyways, this guy got the back of his head caved in for fucking with a kid. He's alive, but is now retarded. You mean brain damaged? You know, I wish women would consider the possibility that they're hooking up with buggers when they go out on a girl, that their girl power fuck sprees. Dude, for the love of God, what does buggers mean? I gotta look this up. I can't read the rest of this shit. What word am I looking up? I'm gonna look up buggery. The British term buggery. Oh, look at that. Gotta love the internet. There's a very close in the meaning to the term sodomy. Jesus Christ. And as often you, there's a bunch of people in England laughing their ass off with me trying to figure out what the fuck that was. And is often used interchangeably in law and popular speech. It may also be a specific common law offense encompassing both sodomy and bestiality. In English law, buggery was first used. I don't give a fuck about that. I don't care when it was first. In 1533. Jesus, somebody probably fucked a yak. The hell do you fuck in 1533? Saber-toothed tiger? You couldn't do that. The thing would kill you. Stick your dick in a woolly mammoth's trunk. All right. Define punishments for the abominable crime of buggery committed with either mankind or with an animal. The definition of buggery was not specific in these or any statutes, but rather established by judicial precedent. Over the years, the courts have defined buggery as including either anal intercourse by a man with a man or a woman, or vaginal intercourse by either a man or a woman with an animal. Well, what if you fucking have anal intercourse with an animal? Is that like some sort of second degree buggery? I don't fucking know. But not any form of unnatural intercourse. That is fucking unreal. Most common law jurisdictions have now been modified the law to permit anal sex between consenting adults. Jesus, they have a picture here of a guy, a depiction of buggery of a goat by the late, great Paul Avril. Now I got to, this is Wikipedia. Now I got to look up Paul Avril. Is this what he was known for? Drawing painting, oil paintings of buggery? Evidently, he was a French painter and a commercial artist. All right, here's his gallery. He's got a couple of women. Maybe it's a guy. Everybody kind of looks the same. She's got her fucking legs spread. He's got a... Jesus Christ, this guy made some filthy fucking... Oh, I see. Holy shit! This guy has a photo of a guy banging a chick on his, on her back while some other dude is putting it in his ass. And I'll tell you right now, if that's not buggery, he is committing it and have it done to him at the same time. What the... You know what? This is really creepy. Wow, this guy really wrote pornographic shit. Okay, now there's a normal one. Guy and a girl. Okay, there we go. Who are you to say what's normal? Oh, go fuck yourself. You know what I'm saying. Mainstream. He's got another one of two chicks. One's going down on the other. What the fuck year was this? Isn't that funny? Don't you always think that nobody did shit? Like 1849 to 1928. So people are sitting there talking about the internet and all this porn and what it's going to do to you. Look at the shit this guy was painting. Buggery, everybody. See that? You learned something? I like to think you learned something on every podcast. And I have to go back here for all the people here in America. Okay, a dude who fucked with me eventually went to jail for buggery and hanged himself when he was there. Yeah, because they were probably all screaming, chanting, goat fucker at him. Another guy I hate was arrested for selling booze to kids, and I laughed my ass off when I saw a news story about him at a local ATF sting. Another dude who fucked with my lady had the back of his head caved in by an unknown assailant. Not me, I swear, because he buggered a child. He fucked a kid. Somebody caved his head in. All right, I like that. Frontier justice. He's alive, but now he's brain damaged. You know, I wish women would consider the possibility that they're hooking up with buggers when they go out on their girl power fucked sprees. Now, what do you mean by buggers? Now, does that mean that they're going out with a guy who'd fuck a yak? or fuck a kid, or going out with a guy who wants to put it in their ass. You're losing me on this one. Please read this letter on your show in case any hoes are listening. Yuck. I don't know what he's talking about. My woman who fucked a child molester has become a 250-pound warthog since then. So her girl power days are over. I got rid of her 15 years ago, thank God. I don't know who to be. Dude, you kind of sound just as bad as the people. You haven't buggered anybody, I hope. But, I mean, you sound just... You're definitely a piece of work here, buddy. Yet another dude who used to pull the most bizarre mind games on me and others, coincidentally, had an extremely expensive divorce. I'm sorry, I was just thinking of that fucking photo. I couldn't get that out of my head that someone would actually consider doing that back in the day. That just seems like next level porno. Like, that seems like the future, not the past. You know? Like a bunch of pornography people sitting around going, all right, what is left to do? Gay porn? We already did that. Heterosexual? Already did that. Hey, wait a minute. You know, all these DJs are doing mashups. I have an idea. Anyways, yet another dude who used to pull the most bizarre mind games on me and others, coincidentally, had an extremely expensive divorce. Now he's poor and helpless. Former boss, who was a hotshot fuck, went to jail for embezzlement. Dude, what have you been doing? How do you know all these people who've gone to jail? This person goes to jail for embezzlement. This other kid fucks a kid. Somebody buggered some, I don't know what, you know? Why don't you hang out with better people? What part of the country do you live in, sir? Several other fuckhead bosses have lost their contacts or otherwise got pushed into poverty or injury by various means. You know, this is starting to read like some fucking Charles Dickens story. Is this shit really happening or is this your fantasies? Many other bad things have happened to slap-offs who hurt me. And guess what? I had to visit briefly with the police in a few cases because they learned that I was a victim of the douchebaggery. I think this is just science fiction at this point, but it's a good read. I have a good reputation, so I was never treated seriously as a suspect. Many of these things took years before they came out, but they happened nevertheless like clockwork. He's speaking very vaguely. If anybody knows what's going on in this, I have no idea. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm in some Sherlock Holmes shit. Are you like Kevin Spacey and you're just making all this shit up? And you're going to walk out of the podcast and your club foot's going to straighten out? I had all the revenge I ever needed and never had to lift a finger. Best of all, my soul is intact. I'm not dead and I'm not in jail. The world has good things in store for all of us. Your Monday morning podcast is great. Thanks for cheering me up every week. All right, sir. That was definitely one of the more bizarre ones. But you know something? Thank you for writing in. You taught me a new word. And I saw a new sexual position. Anyways. Where the hell are we? Where the fuck do you go from buggery? I should have closed on that. Ah, Christ, what the fuck is this? Get this out of the way. Get this out of the way. All right, what do I do here? I got like another 8 minutes to kill here. Women in the UFC, boss being in Boston. I don't know what else to talk about. I think that I might be a little short this week, guys. I really apologize about the unbelievably poor quality of recording these past few weeks. I was really busy, and I didn't get a fucking chance to do something that would only take me fucking 20 minutes. Let's be honest. But I was really stressing about that Patrice thing. I wanted to make sure that it went great. And this week on weekend on stage, I actually remembered a Patrice story that I told, and I told you guys eventually I'd be able to tell you a story. This is sort of a roundabout Patrice one, but it's got Bobby Kelly, dude. It's got him in it, too. I'll tell you this one, and then I'm going to end this podcast. All right, so when I moved to New York, I moved there basically I had never lived on my own. I went right from my parents' house to living in New York City. I didn't know shit about the ladies, right? So I moved down to New York, and I meet this girl who's an absolute fucking psycho, all right? Like, nowadays, I swear to God, I could talk to this girl for 2 seconds and realize that she was out of her mind, and I would not even, I probably wouldn't even say hello to her. There'd just be some way, the way her eyes were darting around the room, I would know that she was out of her fucking mind. But I was young. I didn't know shit, so I ended up going out with her. And you know the crazy girls. They're great in bed. And when you're young, you keep coming back. You keep coming back because you never had it like that before, so I keep coming back. But she was fucking nuts. This girl, she was crazy. I mean, I'd show up to her apartment. She'd have like a fucking, like a wig on and just act like she was somebody else. It was fucking crazy. And then, you know, fuck my brains out. Like, I'm in my 20s. I'm going to walk away from that. I didn't realize she was out of her mind. So I finally just said, listen, this ain't working out, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, she turned into Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. And I didn't know how to get rid of her. She would, like, call me. I'm one time, like, she knew basically when I was going to be home. And this is, but I didn't have an answer machine or anything like that. Did I? Yeah, I think I did. No, I had voicemail. And she'd fucking call, and I'm laying in bed, and I know it's her. It's late at night. None of my friends are going to call or nothing. And I just let it go to voicemail. And I swear to God, 8 seconds later, she'd call again. And she was calling. Like, she did this for almost, I swear to God, like 40 minutes straight. Would just call my number. It would go to, she'd let it ring 6 times. It would go to voicemail. And then she would hang up. And then sit there for 5 seconds and then call me back. And after like the fucking 400th time she did this, I finally picked up the phone and I went, what? She's just like, oh, I just, like, want to talk to you. I'm like, you fucking been calling it for 40 minutes fucking straight. I'm trying to go to sleep, right? And I fucking hang up on her. So she ends up coming by my apartment. This girl was out of her fucking mind. She was out of her fucking mind. So it just keeps, what I should have been doing is I should just shut the phone off. If you're ever with like a psycho chick like this, what you have to do is you just have to freeze them out. You have to act like they don't exist, because if you acknowledge them, it just fuels them and they just keep fucking coming back. Somebody finally told me that. Just say, pick up the phone, say hello. If it's her, just hang up on her. Just keep doing that. But I didn't know to do that shit. So this is so long ago. I forget what happened. All I know, it escalates to the point that she's now threatening me. And she told me, I'm living with Bobby Kelly, by the way. So he's giving me advice. He's also a young guy. And he's also kind of laughing his ass off. And we're both kind of laughing until one day she called me up and she threatened that she was going to stab me. Do something violent to me. It really just freaked me out. So I fucking hang up. And I'm going to Bobby. I'm like, dude, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going down the cellar tonight. I think I was at the comic strip. And I'm like, my fucking name, he's right on the sheet. She's going to know exactly when I'm coming in. What do I do? He's like, I don't know, dude. I fucking, you know, wear 2 coats or something. I don't forget what the hell he told me to do. So like 2-3 hours goes by. All of a sudden, the apartment door buzzes. And it's her. And I'm like, hello. She's like, yeah, it's me. And I'm like, yeah, go fuck yourself. And she goes, no. She goes, I want to give you something. And I'm like, what, a fucking knife in the chest? And she's like, no, I made your brownies. I'm like, what? I mean, she went in 3 hours, I'm going to stab you till I made you some brownies. So for some fucking dumb reason, I buzz her in. And I open the door with the chain, you know, standing way back behind. And there she is sitting there with her crazy eyes, those watery eyes that crazy people have. Big fucking deer eyes. She goes, can I come in? I go, absolutely not. She goes, well, take the brownies. I go, I don't want them. She goes, take them. She turns the fucking tin sideways and she pushes them through. So I take them. And she goes, I'll call you later. And I said, yeah, okay. Just trying to get rid of her, right? Close the fucking door. I set them down on the table. Me and Bob are a couple of starving artists. They smell delicious. We're both sitting there staring at these things going, what the fuck do we do here? I want to eat them, but she just threatened to fucking stab me. What do we do? So we call up the late, great Patrice O'Neill. Start telling him the story. He's fucking laughing his ass off. And he goes, don't eat those brownies. That bitch probably peed in the batter. So now the three of us are laughing our fucking asses off. Like, what do we do? So long story short, me and Bobby end up taking, we take all the brownies out except for like three of them. And we stick them back in the tin. And we were living on the ground floor. And we brought it out. We stuck it on top of a trash bag right on the sidewalk. And anything you had on New York City, man, you just stuck it out there. We lived up on 97th Street. We had like crackheads living in like the bowels of the building. It was fucking nuts. So anything you put out there was gone in 2 seconds. So we just stuck it there. We ran back into the apartment and we just sat there peeking through the curtain, waiting for some homeless guy to come along and see what happens when you eat them. Sure enough, some homeless guy comes along. He sees the tin, sees them in there, picks them, squeezes them, sees they're fucking still warm, pops one in his mouth. Nothing happened. Me and Bob looked at each other and we said, fuck it, we ate it. And they were delicious. Oh, they were delicious. That really wasn't a... Patrice was only in there. He only made a cameo in that one, but I'll try and tell some other ones later on, but... Ah, Jesus, Bill, you let us down on that one. Did I? It was a nice, crazy woman story. this fucking podcast. This is my kryptonite. If I don't have my recorder, it goes down by 20% on the funny. Anyways, that was the Monday Morning Podcast for this week. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for listening. I don't know what shows I have coming up, but I know you guys don't want to listen to me clicking on my computer anymore. I really apologize for the poor quality of these the last 2 weeks. I swear to God, next week is going to be fucking crisp. All right? That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. And thank you to everybody here who came out to my shows at the Wilbur Theater. It was unbelievable turnout. Every show was great. And, you know, all my family and friends that came out, people I went to school with, and it was great to see everybody. And that is it. I'll see the city of Boston. I'll be back in the summer up in New Hampshire, maybe down the Cape. All right, that's it. See you.